This is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C. President Obama declares that the next president won't dare reverse his executive action on immigration.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
Without an actual law, an actual statute passed by Congress, it's true that theoretically a future administration could do something that I think would be very damaging. It's not likely politically that they reverse everything that we've done, but it could be, you know, that some people then end up being in a disadvantageous position. It's true that a future administration might try to reverse some of our policies. But I'll be honest with you. I think that the American people basically have a good heart and want to treat people fairly. So I think any future administration that tried to punish people for doing the right thing, I think would not have the support of the American people.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We now have the graphic details of a Senate committee's report on the CIA's use of enhanced interrogation techniques.
History will judge us by our commitment to a just society governed by law and the willingness to face an ugly truth and say never again.
This makes no sense to me whatsoever, Megan. We're a nation at war. We've got a problem with ISIL in Iraq and eastern Syria. We've got problems in Yemen. We've got problems in North Africa. We have U.S. personnel, both intelligence officials and our military and our special operators, in harm's way.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. We are going to be taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110, and there's plenty to talk about. First, of course, Jonathan Gruber testifying before Congress yesterday, the House Oversight Committee. We will play more from that hearing, which again gets to someone who, a key architect, I don't care if he no longer wants to use that term because it's true, key architect of Obamacare, makes millions of dollars just from the federal government, millions, upwards of $6 million from the federal government, and now is, you know, apologizing for inexcusable remarks. Remember, we played them many times in this broadcast, calling the American people stupid, the process tortured, so that it didn't look like a tax and the CBO wouldn't score it that way. That's the Congressional Budget Office saying that they used exploited the lack of the American people's basic lack of understanding of economics, things like that, those statements. Well, he was grilled about that. And of course, this was a discussion I don't think Democrats wanted to have in the spotlight. So what happens? Well, the same day, Senator Dianne Feinstein decides, you know, she's the outgoing chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, that she no longer wants to keep the CIA report that she's been working on for years classified. She'd now like to release it. So it happens on the exact same day as Gruber's testifying on Capitol Hill. But it always gets better, because then President Obama actually got a real question and comments in Nashville. Nashville, Tennessee, is being asked about his immigration reform and can people rely on this. Remember, my dad testified about this last week on Capitol Hill, that he wouldn't suggest to people necessarily rely on something that's not an actual law. Take a listen. This is President Obama, again, saying it's not actual law, but he doesn't think anyone will ever change it. Doesn't think. So just trust him if you're out there and you're here illegally. Bite 9.
Without an actual law, an actual statute passed by Congress, it's true that theoretically a future administration could do something that I think would be very damaging. It's not likely politically that they reverse everything that we've done, but it could be, you know, that some people then end up being in a disadvantageous position.
I mean, he has no idea about that. You know, he doesn't know who the next president of the United States will be and why they will get elected and who will elect them and what their constituents and their main supporters, the people who put them in office, are asking for. But certainly, again, read between the lines. He doesn't think. Of course, he's not going to say he thinks it's going to be reversed in the future. He's going to try to put political pressure now. But the truth is, you can't really rely on it. Another reason this immigration action by President Obama is bad. It's bad for the people it's even trying to help, because it's not something they can rely on for the future, certainly not future generations. Call now if you agree with us. We're going to be in federal court over this, supporting 20 states who have also filed a lawsuit. 877-989-2255.
In bypassing Congress, President Obama's overreach in taking immigration action is not only unlawful, but unconstitutional as well. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why we're engaged on all fronts. We continue to push to defund the president's reckless plan. Our work continues in Congress, and now we're focusing on the courts. The ACLJ is back a massive federal lawsuit challenging the president's unlawful immigration action filed by multiple states. This lawsuit is critical to stopping the president's action. Now you can stand with us as we prepare to file an amicus brief in support of this lawsuit. Add your name to our brief right now. Send a message: President Obama's action violates federal law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Calls 1-800-604-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. And we have got a brand new brief. We want to represent you. We are going to be filing a brief in support of the 20 states who have filed a lawsuit against President Obama's unconstitutional, what we believe is illegal, self-executing immigration law. And this idea that he can make the law and try to enforce the law. And, of course, it doesn't give anybody out there who is actually trying to take the benefit of this anything to rely on past the Obama presidency. And even he could revoke it at any time. So even then, you have serious questions. But assuming that he wouldn't revoke his own action on this, that the next president very well could. And President Obama acknowledged that yesterday in Tennessee. I want to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. He thinks there'll be too much political pressure not to reverse his. You know, executive orders go back and forth on things like abortion, on major foreign policy and the funding of abortion overseas. We see that happening all the time. And Than Bennard, Director of Government Affairs, the idea that the president says, well, this executive order won't be reversed, I mean, that is not what history shows when it comes to a lot of executive orders that are more controversial. Sometimes they flip-flop back and forth and back and forth. And this is one of those issues where, I mean, you're dealing with people trying to make a decision about whether they want to come out of the shadows, as people like to say, and then try to avail themselves of this new interpretation of the law, and not knowing if this will be something that's good 2 years from now.
Yeah, they go back and forth all the time, Jordan, and I think it just smacks of arrogance that this president would somehow, you know, put on the next president the idea that he knows what they will do, that he knows what the American people and the people that vote on the next president want that president to do. He doesn't know, and I would just say this, I mean, the stakes are really high. The president is putting the stakes of someone's family, someone's livelihood, someone's existence on the line by giving them this false hope. He is saying, listen, you can count on the next president to not undo what I've done. And he just simply does not know that, but he's dealing with someone else's life when he makes that promise.
Folks, we again are going to continue to take your phone calls. The number is 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. And our brand new brief you can be a part of, fighting back against President Obama's illegal action here. If you want to add your name to that brief, call our toll-free number right now. It's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign that brief online. I'm sure you want to make sure you are represented in that fight, in this fight against President Obama's illegal and unconstitutional actions, an action which long-term doesn't give, is not a solution to this country's immigration problem. Call 877-989-2255 or go to ACLJ.org. Now, we're also talking about what happened with the CIA as well, and some of the sound coming from that. Congressman Mike Rogers, who chairs the House Intelligence Committee, I believe, and so he's been very outspoken. He was the one who came out and said, he's the counterpart to Dianne Feinstein in the House, who said, you know, this could cost American lives, cause violence, a very clear message. Well, he was asked to comment on Senator Feinstein. She was in a back and forth with Wolf Blitzer on CNN. Megyn Kelly had Mike Rogers as a guest. So take a listen here. I think this sets the stage for what happened yesterday. And I believe, and this is Jordan Sekulow's opinion, that this is all about political timing, that it may have come out at some point this month, but it was certainly chosen yesterday. And the reason why the White House shifted on it, and John Kerry went from, you know, saying please don't do this over the weekend, to suddenly by midweek they're saying, okay, now it's fine that it comes out, and we actually support the report coming out in the executive summary, which is about 600 pages of a 6,000 page classified report, is because of the Gruber testimony and a whole host of other issues going on. So you want to take the attention off Gruber, which the mainstream media finally had to start covering because it was so bad, his comments, and they directly tied to an upcoming Supreme Court case in the spring. So they decide to put American lives in danger, risk violence, all for politics. And I really do think it was Dianne Feinstein who also had this personal vendetta against the CIA because she found out that one of her Senate Intelligence Committee staff, that they were being monitored by the CIA. Of course, they had classified documents. There have been a lot of leaks over the past decade, and I don't think that you could say that certainly they're necessarily the CIA is wrong in doing that. And come on, I mean, it's the government monitoring the government. It's not exactly a situation where they're monitoring private citizens who don't have classified information, which I certainly think would be a lot more of an extreme situation. And we've seen them go after even journalists who have just talked to people who may leak classified information, try to punish those journalists. Remember, Eric Holder said that's what he regrets most of his time as Attorney General, signing those documents that allowed for the subpoena of people like James Rosen of Fox News. Let's take a listen, of course, in the AP phones in Washington, D.C., Byte 5.
If Americans are killed as a result of this report and they tell you that, I assume you would feel guilty about that.
I would feel very badly, of course. I mean, what do you think, Wolf Blitzer?
So she'll feel badly, but she's doing it anyway.
Yeah, I think this is more than the senator and the chairman of the committee. I think she's under tremendous pressure from many others in the Senate who are pushing to have this report released. And really, I think for all the wrong reasons.
I'm going to go to Mike in Massachusetts on line one. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Jay, first of all, the response by that guy there is so weak. The impotence of the opposite party, the Republican Party, and all these issues, Jay, is pathetic. And I believe that America is terminally ill, and as a result of the impotence, resistance to these policies by these criminal politicians, that we're fatal. And I believe that America, as we know it, has seen its better days, and it's just a matter of time before America, as you and I have known it and grown up and loved, is a thing of the past. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, listen, I think you could agree and disagree on different members of Congress and how they take on these issues. I think Mike Rogers, remember, that was just one soundbite. He's been very strong in his condemnation of the release of this report, has said it will cost lives. I don't know how much more he can say than if you do this, people will get killed. I mean, that's about the most extreme accusation you can levy against someone who is about to make a decision like this and release this kind of report. And people, listen, they brought up the terms, words like treason. Now, if you look at treason as defined in the Constitution, giving aid and comfort, adhering to enemies, helping enemies. Listen, I mean, certainly you look at this situation, I think it'd be very difficult to bring an actual legal case because of how high a standard that is. But you see what all the CIA, former directors, even under President Obama, what they're mostly concerned about here is that this will be a major recruitment tool, and it will cost American lives. So yeah. You've got the dual of the violence that will be the short term, and then the long term, that this is a way that these terror groups will stay alive. They stay relevant.
Yeah, and the truth is, to my point, there's only one person that's responsible for the release of this report. It's Senator Dianne Feinstein. So, to put it on Mike Rogers, I think might be a little unfair. I think we got to start this conversation, Jordan, with two things. Number one, the interrogations that are in this report, they saved American lives. It's pretty indisputable. And number two, they led directly to the capture of Osama bin Laden, something that President Obama takes specific and personal credit for. So you've got to start there. But, then when you move on to Senator Feinstein's release of the report, and you unfortunately have to start looking at motives, because she did it in the face of direct warnings that it would put Americans in danger. And I think it is crystal clear. You talked about the political motivations. I think it also does go to that personal spat that she has with the CIA. I think it is driving her decision-making. And, Jordan, I also don't think it's any accident. She is about 2 weeks away from giving up the gavel of that committee. If she did not do it now, she was not going to be the one that got the credit for putting it out.
And she acknowledged that on CNN. I mean, she said moments before she took to the floor of the United States Senate and this report was released, she was talking to Dana Bash. Dana Bash asked her with the timing, and she said, well, we give up control to the Republicans, who would not be likely to release this report. Then Dana Bash asked, so is that the reason you're doing this? And she tried to say no. But she had just said, and she had just realized she made it all about politics. And they kept saying, and I cannot stand the line of, there's never a good time to do this. There's never a good time to do this, trying to take this moral high ground. When most of what's in this report, if not all of it, is just relitigated, same information that's already been out there, already been used by these terror groups to recruit, why relitigate this issue in the public when these are old issues that people can disagree about? Certainly former CIA directors under President Obama disagree with it. I don't actually think of an issue, Than, where the Obama administration itself is somewhat divided on what side they're on. So you've got the CIA, which is controlled by the Obama administration, putting out press releases saying this report is wrong, flawed, that these interrogations did lead to the saving of lives and did have real valuable intelligence, ultimately leading to locating and killing of Osama bin Laden. But I see the division there. It's pretty unbelievable.
People on both sides of the aisle can disagree. We know there's a huge downside here, Jordan. American lives. What's the upside? I would suggest to you there is none.
Yeah, it's the whole America's not exceptional thing. It's destroying America in the eyes of the world. That's really what it is. And I think that's part of the Obama administration, that what they love doing is apologizing for America and saying how bad America is. He's been doing it since day one of his presidency. Call now to fight back. This is our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. In bypassing Congress, President Obama's overreach in taking immigration action is not only unlawful, but unconstitutional as well. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why we're engaged on all fronts. We continue to push to defund the president's reckless plan. Our work continues in Congress, and now we're focusing on the courts. The ACLJ is backing facing a massive federal lawsuit challenging the president's unlawful immigration action filed by multiple states. This lawsuit is critical to stopping the president's action. Now, you can stand with us as we prepare to file an amicus brief in support of this lawsuit. Add your name to our brief right now. Send a message: President Obama's action violates federal law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to JSecio Live. We are going to be taking your phone calls now. 1-800-684-3110. How much can we put into one segment of a broadcast talking about President Obama's immigration comments in Nashville, where he did at least tacitly acknowledge that, yes, it's not a real change in the law, and without a law from Congress, this could be reversed by a president on a whim. But he doesn't think they will, so trust him. Trust him. You know, so come out of the shadows if you're here illegally. Tell the government who you are, pay your fine, and then maybe the U.S. won't deport you in 2 years when there's a different president of the United States. Just trust President Obama on that. We'll play some sound from that as well. Of course, the CIA enhanced interrogations release. This is one that's really upset me and upset a lot of people in Washington, D.C., especially those of us who travel a lot, spend a lot of time around the world in places that are not always the most pleasant to begin with. And then when you add to that, that this happened within 24 hours, I was just in Turkey. Turkey is tied into the whole ISIS thing. It was part of NATO. It's also majority Islamic and going more Islamist style. I reported that while I was overseas. But I was thinking, like, what if I got stuck there and this report's coming out in 24 hours and I'm walking the streets of Istanbul and there's some group of guys, not the whole country, but some group of guys who just has got a real problem with that. And that's very real for a lot of people who are traveling, whether they travel for work or they're overseas for working for the U.S. government. I mean, it's not just Americans who are in the military or who are diplomats. I mean, there's all the Americans doing work around the world and business around the world. Which is, again, you're putting people at serious risk when you make those kind of decisions. And of course, terror risk at home as well, because this is used as a recruitment tool. I want to go right back to the calls. We're also talking about the situation when you Jonathan Gruber's testimony before Congress as well. All of these things worth talking about today. Let's go to Beth calling from Massachusetts online for Beth. Welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, I was actually calling because at the beginning of his speech, Obama said that there was not currently a law and that they were trying to reform it. I think he's forgetting the fact that there is a law that says that they can't be here because they're called illegal aliens. I appreciate what he's trying to do, but I can't believe he has the audacity to tell the American people that they will do this.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, he'll either try to say, Beth, well, I mean, there's not a law that does what I want to do, so I did executive action. But I really do think you're actually right. He tries to act as if, well, don't worry, there's nothing else here that will get you in trouble. So he goes on. We played the part. Here's the part about the no actual law and no statute passed by Congress. So theoretically, this could be changed by a future administration, future being 2 years from now. Bite 9.
Without an actual law, an actual statute passed by Congress, it's true that theoretically a future administration could do something that I think would be very damaging. It's not likely politically that they reverse everything that we've done, but it could be, you know, that some people then end up being in a disadvantageous position.
Folks, again, that was President Obama. That was a part of his comment, but I want to play the full comment. Let's play Bite 10 as well. Because what about the future administration going back to the reversing policies, Bite 10?
It's true that a future administration might try to reverse some of our policies. But I'll be honest with you. I think that the American people basically have a good heart and want to treat people fairly. So I think any future administration that tried to punish people for doing the right thing, I think would not have the support of the American people.
So, folks, again, it's trust me is the President Obama line. Let's go to Alan, Texas, in line with this, line 5. Alan, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My question is, these illegal aliens, how many of them do you think actually understand what's going on? Do they just hear the word, see the word immigration, and that's all they focus on? You know,
well, they get told by President Obama, people who are asking these questions either for themselves or for their family members or people they know, and they get told, well, you're not going to get deported. Now, that's even a broader statement than his broad executive action, Than, because the truth is it goes to specific people who have been here a certain amount of years, don't have a criminal background other than being here illegally, and have a family connection, either a citizen or a lawful permanent resident in there that's connected to them, you know, immediate family. That's who this covers. So to make statements like he did in Nashville as well, that the great thing about this is you don't have to worry about getting deported. The truth is that's not the case if you don't fall under that standard.
Yeah, and I think the truth is the community that's really impacted here, I think they are starting to grasp what really happened here. I mean, there's two real segments here, Jordan. I mean, there's those who are waiting in line legally. And I have to tell you, even before the president went forward with this action, that community, by and large, opposes this type of thing because they are doing it right and they don't want to be set back further by someone who's come illegally. Now, the second group are those who the president is speaking to, the illegal community that is living here illegally. And I think you opened the show describing exactly this. Martha Luga, the person who asked the president in Nashville if this would be permanent, if she could count on it, I think she grasps that this is not only not permanent, but a real permanent solution was actually hindered by what the president did. So I actually think politically this is starting to break against the president because both of the communities that he was trying to reach are starting to turn against him on it.
Folks, again, we'll continue to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to sign our brief fighting back here against what the president has done, call our toll-free number right now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org and sign the brief. It's not a petition. It's a brief, brand new, online, aclj.org. Let's go to back to the CIA issue as well. Larry in Oregon online, too. Larry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
The work
hey, Larry, you there?
Yeah. Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just curious. This guy is stirring up all this stuff with just the CIA and Guantanamo Bay and stuff. If her report cost American lives overseas, can she not be held responsible for the loss of their lives?
It'd be very difficult. I mean, you know, could she be held responsible by constituents? Could she be responsible by the American people? A lot of people think Dianne Feinstein's doing this because of her legacy. Could it change that? I mean, you know, what will history say about this move, or will it even be remembered? You know, you see some, and listen, there may be some truth into what some are saying is that, listen, we're engaged in full-scale conflicts with ISIS. We're trying to battle al-Qaeda still and troop rescues, but they haven't been so successful. Another failed rescue of captives by al-Qaeda in Yemen. The fighting against ISIS, and I just returned from that part of the world in Turkey, where we have not gotten Turkey to fully sign on, even though they're a member of NATO, to the fight against ISIS, because they want to take out the Assad regime on top of that. And then they have serious questions about whether this administration would be committed to that or not, or are they going to see yet another Iranian proxy that continues to gain power and we're taking out their enemies for them. And that's when they see the Assad not taking out the Assad regime while simultaneously taking out ISIS. It's not to say they're not complicated issues, Larry, but I think ultimately here, holding Dianne Feinstein responsible will be in the court of public opinion. It'll be politically, probably she's pretty safe in California. But ultimately, it's up to us. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. We come back from the break. Remember, another half hour of Jay Sekulow Live coming up. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. And I want you to get active on this issue when it comes to immigration and fight back against what the president has done. You can do it in federal court. We're preparing a brief. We want to represent you. If you want to be represented in that brief, join our committee. Call now, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org. I move myself
and my family. The ACLJ is backing a massive federal lawsuit challenging the president's unlawful immigration action filed by multiple states. This lawsuit is critical to stopping the president's action. Now, you can stand with us as we prepare to file an amicus brief in support of this lawsuit. Add your name to our brief right now. Send a message, President Obama's action violates federal law. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to JSecio Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, let's go right to the phone. So we're talking immigration. We're talking the situation involving Gruber as well. In fact, let me play some of the Gruber because this is important for people. You know, Jonathan Gruber, architect of Obamacare. Now we're supposed to believe. Self-describe that because the MIT doctor, PhD, had to he was trying to seem smarter amongst his peers. Take a listen to this. It starts with Biden 11, but actually we could start. Yeah, we'll start with Biden 11. This is Congressman Trey Gowdy questioning Gruber.
The pervasiveness of your quotes is so much that it has to be more than that. It has to be more than just an episodic mistake that you made. See if this helps you any. What did you mean when you said you wish that you had been able to be transparent, but you'd rather have the law than not?
Once again, it was my trying to conjecture about a political process in which I'm not an expert.
Conjecture was certainly the word of the day yesterday. And again, you know, conjecture is trying to come to this definite opinion with only some observations, not a full understanding. It was a word he obviously learned for this hearing, like the word glib, which you don't really hear people use unless they are certainly prepped. It's like they were looking through a thesaurus, say, let's find another word for sorry and feel bad and incorrect, and we can use that word over and over and over again and drive people crazy with it, which they did drive members of Congress crazy with it. But this questioning went on by 12.
What did you mean when you said it was written in a tortured way to make sure the CBO didn't score the mandate as a tax?
Once again, it was using inappropriate language to try to sound impressive about something to my colleagues.
You see a trend developing here, Professor Gruber?
I don't understand the question.
It's a lot of stupid quotes you've made. That's the trend.
A lot of
you see them?
Inexcusable quotes. Yeah.
Right.
Again, this continues. Inexcusable quotes, just trying to, again, this idea that he wanted to make himself smarter. But this is my favorite one of them, Bite 13.
Your defense is that you're not a politician. The lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. Well, what is a non-politician doing talking about political advantages?
A non-politician is talking about political advantages to try to make himself seem smarter by conjecturing about something he doesn't really know.
So you're a professor at MIT and you're worried about not looking smart enough?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you succeeded, if that was your goal.
I mean, pretty classic there. I mean, and ridiculous. It was absurd what was coming out of Jonathan Gruber's mouth. And then he didn't fully disclose the information the committee was seeking. I mean, there were a whole host of other problems. But this is not someone who is just a commentator. Because those people testify like that who may be, again, even a government staffer who makes a government salary off this may be a good salary, but it's a government salary. This is someone who made millions. If to my calculation so far, as an individual, he probably made the most of this. You know, there may be insurance companies, CEOs, or people like that, but they were already pretty high paid. This guy made millions off of Obamacare.
Yeah, and it's tempting to find that humorous, Jordan, but it's very offensive. I mean, we know about, you know, $6 to $8 million that he made profiting off of not only being the architect for Obamacare, but then marketing it, then selling it to the
American
people.
I want to make that clear to people. $6 to $8 million of your money that you paid to the IRS went to Jonathan Gruber through the federal government directly. That is not including the state money yet.
I was going to say, that's what we know about. And when he was asked about this repeatedly yesterday, Jordan, he would not give an answer. He kept deferring to his counsel, even though the committee said, we don't want you to talk to your counsel. We want you to tell us what you made, whether it's been disclosed or not. He would not tell us. That tells me one thing, Jordan. It was much larger than $6 to $8 million.
Folks, again, we're going to take your phone calls now. And we've got more of the broadcast coming up, so we'll take those calls when we come back from the break. If you want to get involved here and get active on this immigration issue, we've got a way to do it, a really proactive way, because we've got a brief We're planning to file. We want to represent you in support of those 20 states who are fighting back against this, led by Texas. If you want us to represent you, join our committee here. Call now. It's toll-free and doesn't cost you a thing to join the committee. 877-989-2255 is the toll-free number you call. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org. Again, and you can sign up online or by phone, 877-989-2255.
In bypassing Congress, President Obama's overreach in taking immigration action is not only unlawful, but unconstitutional as well. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why we're engaged on all fronts. We continue to push to defund the president's reckless plan. Our work continues in Congress, and now we're focusing on the courts. The ACLJ is back a massive federal lawsuit challenging the president's unlawful immigration action filed by multiple states. This lawsuit is critical to stopping the president's action. Now you can stand with us as we prepare to file an amicus brief in support of this lawsuit. Add your name to our brief right now. Send a message: President Obama's action violates federal law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I promised we would take your phone call. Now we're talking CIA, immigration, and Jonathan Gruber testifying on Obamacare. I know our audience can hang with that, especially our audience in the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. Those of you who take the next step, if you don't get it on your local radio station, on Sirius XM, or even you're listening online right now or at home, we thank you for doing that. And I know you're informed enough on the issues to follow us here, because people got calls come in on these different topics, and we talked about all of them today. Let's get right back to the phones. Let's go to Marcus calling in from California Online 3, talking CIA. Marcus, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. I have a comment. The Democrats are after the CIA for doing what is right, but not after the IRS for what is doing wrong. And Dianne Feinstein, she's basically betraying the American people, which is exactly what the IRS did also by going after innocent people.
You know what's sick about this, Marcus, is that if this really goes to that Dianne Feinstein didn't like that the CIA was monitoring her committee staff, which, by the way, gets very classified information from the CIA. There's a level of respect there and trust. There have been a lot of leaks on throughout the last decade, since 9/11, since the terror attacks, and since things have really taken the next phase of the CIA's work. And listen, they're not perfect. CIA is not perfect. They're still human beings, and certainly they're trying to fight back against terrorists, and sometimes they don't have a real helpful administration, which is a bizarre thing here, because you see that President Obama okayed this. Secretary of State John Kerry over the weekend was asking them not to do this, and the CIA current director, John Brennan, who is an Obama person, an Obama ally, is also saying that this report is deeply flawed and wrong. So if the Obama administration officials really believe that this was inaccurate, why give the green light? Why tell Dianne Feinstein, don't feel bad about doing this, we're backing you here? Because they love blaming America, Marcus. They love blaming America, and they especially don't like when it's something that, by the way, they all agreed to. I was watching a lot of these Democrats on television yesterday who were there immediately following 9/11, and every one of them knew about this. They knew that these kind of enhanced methods were being used. Not only that, they were being briefed. Now, some of them wrote letters. This fact, I saw something like Jane Harman, and she had a letter that she had written to a CIA chief counsel back in 2003. It was a classified letter, by the way, Than. But she liked holding it up for the camera and say, see, I protested a little. Now, I didn't say anything about it. If they truly believed we were torturing people. I'm not talking about making people stand up for 10 hours and playing some loud music and slapping them around a little bit. To tell you the truth, these are people who cut people's heads off, blow up buildings, and we thought these attacks, remember, this was all happening when we thought these attacks were coming right now. It wasn't like we're waterboarding people in 2012. That's not the case. That just wasn't, so this wasn't a prolonged system. And so they were all okaying it then, and now if they really believed that it was torture, Than, wouldn't they have come out and said something? I mean, honestly, they could have broken protocol, broken the rules to some extent, but you know, if they truly believed Americans were torturing foreigners captured abroad, they could have come out, and probably, though they would have been violating some laws, they would have been covered by the media, covered by the American people, and then, listen, have a real discussion. When you come out 15 years later, when you won't get in trouble for it because you're not violating classified laws, and then put Americans in danger for this, it just seems a little bit like, hey, wasn't Dianne Feinstein there? I mean, she was there. She's been a senior-ranking member of Senate since almost as long as I think I've been alive. And yet, you know, they act like this is new to them.
When they talk about briefing Congress, Jordan, one of the very people who was briefed was Dianne Feinstein. So if what she is now accusing the CIA of happening is true, if it was truly torture, you're right. She should have come out then instead of now. And the other point here is there's nothing new in this report. So she's not accomplishing anything by releasing this report other than highlighting it to the world and putting the American people in danger. I would just quickly say I thought the former CIA director Mike Morrell's comments on this were so appropriate because he said a couple of things. He said, first of all, I want to push back against this idea that there was no benefit to the interrogations that happened. It led to real actionable intelligence that brought down Osama bin Laden. And the other point that he took great offense to, he said, we briefed Congress. We asked if this was legal. They told us it was. And now they are accusing my officers, American citizens who are in harm's way, of torturing people when they were the ones at the time who told us it was legal.
And folks, that is what is so absurd about this whole program here and why, again, it's something we don't just express outrage about, but again, we have to do more. We have to fight back. This administration is really trying to undermine us. They undermine us at home with the immigration action. They undermine us at home with bad health care, with lying to the American people, defrauding us, taking millions of dollars of taxpayer money, paying people like Jonathan Gruber, who was already an MIT professor and a PhD, but you know had to feel smarter around his friends, and so he now supposedly we're supposed to believe wasn't telling the truth when he made comments that we all were saying about Obamacare. They are true. Everything Jonathan Gruber said about the way the law functioned, not about the American people, but about the specifics of how the law the function and was written and how it actually operates is true. But now he wants to act like all of it. See, he's trying to lump that part of his comments in with the calling the American people stupid and saying they were all wrong. When in fact, calling the American people stupid was wrong. It's inexcusable. But the way he described the mechanics of Obamacare was exactly accurate. And so, see, he's trying to have it both ways. Even now, he's playing politics with this. He tries to say he's not a politician, but he is playing politics with this 100%. Back to phones we go. Rebecca in Oklahoma, line 4. Rebecca, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, clearly this administration is incredibly self-centered. The damn truth is folly and innocence is mocked. They are jeopardizing the safety of not only Americans, both domestically and internationally, but our servicemen, when there's already a high alert for our servicemen worldwide. And for them to release Dianne Feinstein to do this in such a selfish manner is just unbelievable and unforgivable. As an American, I am incredibly appalled at the risk that it is putting upon the people that are fighting for our freedom. I am totally appalled at this whole administration, including the lame duck Congress. I'm just totally appalled at all of it.
Well, you know what I think too, Rebecca, is that yes, it certainly puts in people in the most harm way. And I agree with everything you said. But it does, of course, put into harm's way those who serve to protect us, whether they are our military, our intelligence and clandestine services, or even our diplomats and our foreign service, these people who are on the front lines in the toughest places around the world, who represent America on their sleeve, who walk around as "I represent America." So when these terrorists want to target, that's who they target. Sometimes they are strong enough to target our military. Sometimes they are not, so they go after those who are not as protected, like our foreign service members around the world, who serve in places where there's already very radical populations. Give them a little bit more. I mean, this may sound extreme, but then when I was listening, watching, hearing all the reports yesterday, I'm thinking, you know what? We've built this up as so bad that if you are Al-Qaeda, if you are ISIS, you better respond. Because if you don't respond to it, it's as if the U.S. just went out and said, see, we torture you. By the way, we're such a big country, we say we torture you 15 years later. And it's going to be violent, and there's going to be deaths. And so, again, it's almost like we're baiting them to respond.
It guarantees it. I mean, it provokes it. I mean, I'm glad you brought this up, because we have to remember who we're talking about, who these enhanced interrogation techniques were being used on. It was people like the masterminds of 9/11. It was people like those who were associated with and working with Osama bin Laden. And it was people who had ideology that is very similar, in many cases identical to the people that we see beheading American people and beheading children. Those are the kind of the people that we're provoking. You think they're going to take that sitting down, or do you think they're going to respond? I think it's a guarantee that they're going
to
respond.
Back to the folks we go. Let's go to David, Colorado, line 6. David, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, I got a two-part. On the first thing with Obama, and I think it's more of a dare of how much dare you to come change this.
I think that, too. You're talking about the immigration remarks, and I agree. I think, you know, the Washington Times called it, he taunted. A dare, as if no one would question what he's done here, and it will be too politically damaging if he changed it. Now, the question you ask is, why would it be so politically dangerous? None of these people are on a pathway to citizenship, so it's not like they'll be voting in the next presidential election. I mean, I see what he says, and listen, sometimes that may be true, but it's not always true, and so don't lie to people who are really asking honest questions about it. You know, we can debate whether it's good or bad, but if people are asking, should they trust it? And he's telling them, well, yeah, you can, because no one's ever going to do this politically, not legally, not constitutionally, not Congress taking action on it. But don't worry about it, because politically speaking, this would be, you know, political suicide for anyone to do. So they're not going to do that. Let me go take one more call. John's been hanging on line 5 from New Jersey. John, welcome to the show. We only got about 40 seconds here in the segment.
Okay. How you doing, Jay?
We're good, John.
Listen, I haven't heard this yet, so I'm going to put it out there. You're talking a lot about Goober, everybody, but I don't hear any talking about the Supreme Court, or in particular John Roberts. And he got the wool pulled over his eyes, and I would like to hear more of that from the conservative people, radio, TV,
yeah,
and whatnot.
Well, listen, that's why you cannot put too much faith. The final battle is always the legal battle. The final resolution is ultimately maybe the Supreme Court, and to put too much weight into that is always dangerous. And I think that Affordable Care Act decision underscored that. You cannot predict where they will go. So it's the final choice you take in a fight. It's not the first. It's the final choice. If you can't fight it out politically or congressionally, you got to fight it out there. Folks, a great broadcast. We got more coming up. Go to ACLJ.org.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. In bypassing Congress, President Obama's overreach in taking immigration action is not only unlawful, but unconstitutional as well. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why we're engaged on all fronts. We continue to push to defund the president's reckless plan. Our work continues in Congress, and now we're focusing on the courts. The ACLJ is backing a massive federal lawsuit challenging the president's unlawful immigration action filed by multiple states. This lawsuit is critical to stopping the president's action. Now, you can stand with us as we prepare to file an amicus brief in support of this lawsuit. Add your name to our brief right now. Send a message: President Obama's action violates federal law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Broadcast, Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, I'm going to play for you an interview that Jay did yesterday on Janet Parshall's radio broadcast, talking about many of the same issues we're talking about today. Jonathan Gruber's testimony, the immigration issue and the executive overreach of the president, and then also the newly released CIA report that Senator Dianne Feinstein just released. Jay talked with Janet about all of these issues yesterday on her radio broadcast and wanted you to hear the perspective of that show. Let's go ahead and roll it now. Again, Jay and Janet Parshall from yesterday.
Boy, do I appreciate spending time with Jay Sekulow. He's such an encourager, is he not? We do the right thing. We show up. We're victorious every time. We simply say, yes, Lord, and then we leave the results to him. And boy, God puts his people everywhere. Yep, in front of the Supreme Court of the United States and testifying on Capitol Hill. By the way, I watched those hearings, and with absolute clarity, what Jay told that committee over and over and over again was, sorry, Constitution doesn't allow what the president did. It's an overreach of the law. Didn't make any difference what party you went to. The transcendence of those guiding documents said simply, this much power and no more. You cannot take power where power has not been bequeathed to you. So we'll wait to see what happens. But as Jay points out, now you've got this new report from the Senate today. So this week, we're not talking about immigration. But I tell you what we are going to talk about, and that is I spent some time last week with Nagmeh Abedini. And boy, I'll tell you what, you can just hear the heaviness in her voice. Very concerned. This is going to be the third Christmas that the kids are going to be without their daddy. Gee, is there any hope here at all? Meanwhile, we're tap dancing with Iran, who's never going to put down their arms. And that's exactly what this is about. It's not an energy source for the Iranian people. Let's get real. But somewhere in this extended period of time of talks, the added on of 7 months, we can't broker a deal that gets an American citizen out of Iran. We got an American soldier out of a Mexican jail, but we can't get an American citizen out of an Iranian jail.
It's look, I mean, this is for Nagmeh. You know, I always tell this to our staff, and people get emotional about this issue, which is understandable. I've got to do it clinically, though. I mean, I'm a lawyer, so
yeah.
I've got to,
yeah,
you know, look at what, you know, you can't get emotional, but it's hard not to. And here's the reality, and I think this is the real issue we have to deal with. We were sitting across the table with the foreign minister for the Islamic Republic of Iran, and we didn't get an American released from jail who was arrested not for violating espionage rules, but for setting up an orphanage as a Christian. That's why they arrested him. They, you know, they always say it's national security, but that's their view is national security. But we're sitting across the table from these guys. They're handshaking. They're having conversations. And our guy's still in jail. And when I look at it as the clinical lawyer, you say, what is going on here? We don't have the political will to do what's necessary. I think the country doesn't. Now, the people do. I mean, we're hearing from people from, by the way, Republicans, Democrats. Nobody wants this guy in jail. And look, the president of the United States, and I will say this about the president, and I mean this, when he had the very first phone call with Rouhani, the president, the new president of Iran, the very first phone call, he brought up, affirmatively brought up, Saeed Abedini's release. So it's not as if the president didn't ask. The problem is we're not carrying enough weight or threat or whatever it is to get him released. I think this is, it's been one of the most difficult cases we've handled because you feel like you make two steps forward and, you know, three steps back. But nobody can explain it like Nagmeh. You talked with her last week. I mean, she knows it better than anybody because she's living it every day. But we're working, I will tell you this, Janet, we're working multiple angles, angles I can't even discuss with countries I can't even discuss. But it's this is a very difficult, I thought our best shot was even if they were to extend these discussions as a confidence-building measure, they would have released Saeed Abedini, just as a confidence-building measure. Unfortunately, so far that has not happened. I'm not losing hope that it won't before Christmas, but it hasn't happened so far.
Yeah, exactly right. And at the same time all of this is going on, we make the declaration no more sanctions against Iran. So I'm not quite sure. And I haven't been invited to these meetings, but I've been around Washington for a little bit. And I'm just wondering, what are we using for leverage here, Jay, as we have these discussions?
Jana, I think the problem is that what you just said is right. These are discussions. These should not just be discussions. This should be a negotiated confidence-building measure that if we're going to even consider moving forward, whether it's a seven-month delay or whatever it is, that we have some confidence-building measures from the Iranians. Look, I mean, there is, in a bizarre way, there are some mutual interests now that we have. It was just hard for me to even say this is true, but it is. ISIS is a threat to Iran. ISIS is a threat to Israel. ISIS is a threat to the United States. There's this weird commonality of danger right now in the region. That, you know, the Revolutionary Guard, as evil as they are, it's a standing army as evil as ISIS. I mean, they would meet their match in the Revolutionary Guard. Of course, I think the United States military could take them out, but you got to have the will to do it and the desire to do it. That's one of the things we talk about in the book. But the reality is, in this situation that we're dealing with right now, when you're negotiating, I'm talking to you from our radio studio right now. It was if you and I are across the table from each other, 3-4 feet apart, and I can't say to you, oh, by the way, before you go on the air, will you release my prisoner? You'd say yes in negotiating posture, or else I'm not coming on the air. Well, I mean, I don't know. That's what I don't understand. How did that happen? How is it we've gone this far with these discussions and they think so little of us that they will not release the guy? That's the tragedy.
Exactly. So, folks, we keep banging on the gates of heaven here, right?
You do.
Because that's really where we make our high appeal. I have to ask you, Jay, only because you talked about diversion before. Well, here's one. I'm waiting for the double bar line, the end of the song, the coda, and it hasn't happened yet. What's the deal now with the IRS and going after people because of their particular worldview? And, 30,000 emails suddenly appear?
Yeah, there'll be more emails appearing. Here's what's happening. The IRS got caught with their hands multiple times in the cookie jar. You had the Commissioner of Internal Revenue go up and make these statements. These are never recoverable. Then automatically they are. And in the process, the IRS, about 80% of our clients have now been granted tax exempt status after, of course, we filed the lawsuit. But you're asking the question, which is the $64 million question, will the government ever be held accountable for their actions? And here's my theory. I think ultimately they were held accountable a couple of weeks ago, and that's why you saw such a rapid and significant change in the United States Senate. It was that kind of action that cost them. But the ultimate thing is the administration going to try to run the clock out on this? And look, I mean, and your husband's a great litigator. You know, 18 months in litigation is not a long time. So the fact of the matter is they'll try to run the clock out, is my theory. We're going to keep pounding, and we've got a whole series of new lawsuits we're filing. But the fact of the matter is they're going to try to run the clock out.
Wow. Amazing. Jay, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thanks
and friends,
me.
When I told you that, you know, set aside a little time when you get to the website for ACLJ, look at rapid fire, the things that Jay and I talked about. And trust me, there's a whole lot more we could have talked about. So may I do this? I really and truly want you to read Rise of ISIS. I have. It's one of those. Just don't read it before you go to bed, okay? Because it's a wake-up call. We really are a nation at war, whether CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN say it or not. We are very much a nation at war. There is an enemy who seeks our destruction. So the question then becomes, identify the enemy, put together your battle plan. And for the believer, that's language we understand, is it not? That is so biblical.
Folks, again, that was Jay on Janet Parshall's radio broadcast from yesterday. Listen, I am holding in my hands the draft copy of the brief that our team is working on that will be filed at the United States District Court for the Southern District of Texas, supporting the state's challenge. 20 states led by Texas challenged President Obama's executive action on immigration. Folks, the key question here, the core question of this case, is one of congressional acquiescence. Did Congress consent to give the president authority in this area? And this brief clearly articulates the answer is no. The president exceeded his constitutional bounds, and his acts should not be allowed to stand. If you want to add your name to this brief, we'll also be presenting it to members of Congress for their participation as well. But if you want to add your name to this brief, pushing back on the president's actions, I want you to call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Begins the basis of hope. This hate is going to end. Where nations can live in peace.
ACLJ is backing a massive federal lawsuit challenging the president's unlawful immigration action filed by multiple states. This lawsuit is critical to stopping the president's action. Now, you can stand with us as we prepare to file an amicus brief in support of this lawsuit. Add your name to our brief right now. Send a message: President Obama's action violates federal law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.